So klingt frische Musik. Und so klingt frische bei Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche rote Tafeläpfel aus Deutschland. 2 Kilo für nur 1,79 Euro. Oder Mini-Roma-Rispentomaten 300 Gramm für nur 1,11 Euro. Entdecke viele weitere Angebote zum Aldi-Preis. Und weiter geht's mit frischer Musik für jeden Geschmack. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Hello everybody and welcome to another Dose Conspiracy Guys true crime story. This time we're talking about the butcher of Rostov, Andre Chikatilo. This guy is fucked up. Fucked up.
To say the least.
To say the very least. And joining me in the studio, the effervescent ukuleleist, the ukulelister himself, Mark's ukulele tips himself. The Monsignor Mark Manga. Welcome to the studio, Mark.
It's not cheating if it's just the tip.
Hey. Mark's ukulele tips on YouTube. You can find it if you want to be able to strum the stuff. four strings of loveliness. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about your endeavors?
Well, it's just basically kind of tips about playing ukulele.
So. And from beginners to experts?
3 different levels. So okay. Beginners would be the B, intermediates would be I, advanced would be A. Yeah, so playing all kinds of weird stuff. There'll be some beginner tips, but something like even Rage Against the Machine and things like that. So lots of unusual things.
I've seen you do like, loads of hip hop stuff. You also have Hip Hop Alele, mm-hmm. which is a mix between like the urban music of the streets and then the like rap music as well.
the gritty streets of Hawaii.
The gritty ukulele streets of Hawaii. And it's like... I've seen you do stuff like System of a Down and Rage Against the Machine and even like Snoop Dogg or like Macklemore and all these different types of stuff. Like
Yeah, all kinds of songs that make my parents embarrassed. Yeah.
You're taking ukulele into a different...
Very different realm. Direction. That's kind of what I enjoy. It's like I really don't like the kind of old standards of ukulele. It's just
there's a lot of ukulele nights filled with when I'm cleaning windows and...
Yeah, and Wagon Wheel and things like that, so that's not really my scene. But I like... It's my love of the underdog. So I love playing like nasty, mean shit on this adorable child's instrument. So even like the other night I was playing in a room of like 100 people, I was playing Hot in Here by Nelly. I was like the only one doing it. So it's just like, yeah, good gracious ass, bodacious. Yeah.
You can't, you do, there is a streak of blackness that goes through you. You can freestyle rap.
For a very pale human being.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like possibly one of the palest. Transparent even. Mm-hmm. But hip-hop-a-lele is definitely a triumph for music. I can't wait till it takes off, man. If you want to learn how to play the ukulele, Mark's Ukulele Tips, so you can hit it up at Mark's Ukulele Tips on Twitter and he'll be able to give you the tip.
Oi.
And you can see how you get on. I mean, ukuleles are inexpensive.
Dime a dozen, $30.
You can put it in the top drawer. And do you know what? If you give it up, sure, it's not the fucking end of the world.
Doesn't matter. It wouldn't be the first one to gather dust.
Exactly. So, thanks for joining us, Mark. This one's pretty dark. You went deep on this one that was...
Oh, I don't know how deep I went. Fuck, how deep can you go?
Yeah, well, I went into some shady territory in my search engine looking for stuff on this. Like, how does a uterus actually taste? What is...
Oh, God.
Do you know? Apparently, he
like chicken?
He'd only chew them, he wouldn't swallow. But like, we all say that.
Like Bill.
Yeah.
I did remove the uterus, but I did not inhale.
I chewed on the uterus. I did not eat it. Andrei Chikatilo was a Russian...
The chick magnet.
A Ukrainian-born Russian serial killer. And his cultural significance is that he was... like
kind of
Russia's first serial killer, but because of the... abject denial of the American phenomenon of serial killers in the former USSR, he was allowed to prolifically murder and mutilate people all through the 70s and 80s. And he had a fucked up childhood, as is the norm with these lads. Ended up doing some awful crimes. And then as soon as the Iron Curtain fell, the police kind of went, well, geez, we can't have this. But it just seems so, it seems so weird that he was allowed to go on for as long as he was, you know?
Yeah, I think that was probably part of the kind of party line.
Yeah.
Or at least that's what's gleaned from the documentary.
Yeah, yeah. It does seem that, do you know, in the 70s, we had like the Ted Bundys and we had the John Wayne Gacy's and we had the Son of Sam and these kind of stuff in the late 60s and early 70s. If anyone has watched Mindhunter on Netflix, which is fucking like kiss your butthole and have it explode. That's what you're doing with your fingers when you that is Mindhunter is a fucking whomper about how the guys made the FBI criminal profiling
right
in the late 60s and early 70s. Fucking class, man. Talking about Ed Kemper, and we're going to do all those on the show in the future. Loads of different types of murderers all profiled in this thing, and they're going around like it's two dudes that travel around the whole of America interviewing murderers and asking them why, to try and figure out like the common circumstances and trying to build up profiles. There was nothing like that in the USSR, although they were aware of these serial killer events where people were being murdered, not just in, like, you know, you murder your spouse or your loved one, or you murder somebody that you know, or a business partner, or the commonalities between like killings of passion or killings of impulse. These were non-connected killings. These were people who weren't related to them. These were non-geographically conjoined kind of murders.
It wasn't specific to a gender. Yeah, or
there was no, it was just a fella that loved killing people. And because the Russian people couldn't chalk it down, they were like, how the fuck, like, people die every day, man. Let's not make a big thing out of it, you know?
Yeah, it was kind of running around the rumor mill in the locality.
Yeah.
So it was just a case of, officially, there's nothing going on. But in terms of the rumor mill, it was like, well, such and such disappeared, and such and such disappeared, and such was found dead, and such and such was, like, a body was found here, a body found
similar
there.
Similar mutilations. Stuff. Yeah.
So it was like, it was running weird around that there was somebody on the loose.
Yeah. And like, up until 1990, and then the USSR, like, Soviet Republic kind of faltered, and it was turned into a bunch of different countries, as we know. In 91, and straight away, like, Chikatilo was, you know, the hammer was brought down by the FSB.
Yeah, it was the first major case for the new government.
Absolutely, and it was a cracker, because, like, everybody knew about this guy. He was traveling all over the former USSR, and he was going into these places and picking up children. And
he was dead to rights absolutely from the start, because, like, he pretty quickly caved with the evidence, and then admitted it and
lamped.
gave walkabout tours of where he kind of killed people.
But not only was he totally, like, complicit and totally compliant with the police, he made such a spectacle of the court proceedings that it was on Russian news, and this is like the new unfettered non-Soviet free press that were like, oh, we have our own, like, killer.
It was their OJ.
Oh my god, we now have serial killer like America. This is great day.
Quick, put him in white Jeep.
If the glove don't fit, better put on, because hands get very cold in Russia. So Chikatilo, also known as the Butcher of Rostov, he was convicted of all of these killings, these sexual assaults, and these mutilations. There were 52 men, women, and children between 1978 and 1990 in the USSR. That's fucked up, son. That's fucked up, right?
It's an impressive record.
Chikatilo, he had, as we all have, you know, deduced by now, a terrible childhood.
Growing up in the war.
Oh my god. Like, so many of these dudes. We talked about Albert Fish. We talked about Ted Bundy, like, and all
speculated
of these, like,
that
Charlie Manson, like, awful childhoods.
It speculated that the Nazis basically rolled through his town, and it was implied that the soldiers probably raped his mother.
He saw some shit. Well, they lived in the Ukraine, and he was born in Yablonsk in the Ukraine on the 16th of October 1936, and they were farmers. They were collectivized farmers under the Soviet rule, right? And as we know, you know, the five-year plans and these
had some undesired consequences.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I don't want to. We're not getting political on this, but the Soviet rule kind of fucked up a lot of the places outside of Mother Russia itself. Mm. All the stands, the
Ukraine suffered pretty badly from
Southern
the agricultural
Europe,
failure.
The Balkans.
Was described by some people as a famine.
Yeah, well, I mean, there were people eating other kids and stuff like that. So this is the stories that went on.
That's not like starving as in I missed dinner.
this is like, I'm going to die if I don't get meat.
Yeah.
He didn't eat bread until the age of 12. And, you know, this Stalinist collectivized agriculture plan was pretty,
less than impressive.
Yes, it was pretty strict on what you had to hand up.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, the whole socialist paradigm went, where people were like, yeah, you know,
Ukraine,
I could eat this bread, or I could give it up to you, like in honor of
Ukraine.
The
would have been a big farming, country.
Absolutely, yeah. It's the Idaho of the Russian Federation or whatever.
Yeah, it's got big flat plains. So
during these famine incidents, the reports of cannibalism were rampant, and even like Chikatilo's own mother said that his brother was kidnapped by neighbors
and
cooked and eaten.
Eaten,
yeah, like. There's even a story.
The Hunger Games.
Yeah,
sorry.
It is. There's even a story that Chikatilo told in court in his deposition when he was arrested, that he was in a neighbor's house and they were cooking a stew, and I was like, oh my God, you're cooking stew. Like, where'd you get the stuff for the stew? And they could see fingertips floating in the stew.
Yeah. Like, Jesus, that's grim.
That's pretty grim.
I hope it's ratatouille.
Like, do you take the bones out? Are they?
Is this vegan?
Are they boneless finger fillets, like kitty paws?
Oh God!
Like, where do you, like? Do you know what I mean? Like, cannibalism happens. It happens. Mm. But at this point, Chikatilo was going through a really rough old spot, and as with a lot of these murderers as well, with a shitty childhood comes a maternal fixation, and his mother was a very strict woman. And she was a supreme influence on his mental health and fucked up his psychological state, to be honest. Roman, his dad, now this is where these feelings of inadequacy come along, and this is where later on we'll see this like sexual repression being expressed in anger and violence.
Mm.
So it's kind of this like impotence that expresses itself in
the relationships with women,
violent sexual escapades that eventually lead in climax, because like an erection and a stimulation via the penis doesn't work because your mind is fucked and your boner don't work.
Yeah, well, the
so you can only come if you choke someone to death. Like,
that's what the documentaries, they laid that on pretty heavily, that he kind of hadn't really experienced sexual release in a long time until he killed his first victim.
Yeah. So this is where we see these first kind of like feelings of inadequacy and these feelings of a lesser than when his dad Roman was drafted to the war. Little Andre and his mother and sister were forced to live basically homeless because their house was bombed and burned down. And, you know, Roman is out fighting for the Soviet cause. And we know, like, you know, Soviets during the war, if you were like a defector, if you turned around, your own commander, your own
would kill you,
shoot you. Rather than have you walk away.
It was so sad. Even like, the stories of like the two soldiers, particularly later in the war, being sent against the front, against the enemy line, one carrying the gun and the other carrying the cartridge, so that whichever one was shot first, you pick up the other guy's thing, and that, like, it was, it's just
because they didn't have enough guns for everybody.
Yeah, they didn't have enough weapons, and they were extremely likely to be killed immediately. So it was a case of you're almost like using up the enemy's bullets with people. Like, it was a different level, and I don't think a lot of people understand how severe the Soviet war was.
Yeah, millions and millions and millions of way more Soviets died than, like, Jews or Poles or Czechs or...
Yeah.
Like, and the biggest loss was on the Russian side.
Yeah, I have a thorn in my side all the time about that, where American Britain claim to have, like, won the war on kind of equal footing with Russia. It's just, if you get deep into the statistics, it's shocking how heavily the losses were on the Soviet and German sides.
Well, you could imagine, like, what would denote, like, winning the war? Would it be, like, having the least amount of people killed? Because if in that case, American Britain did win.
True.
Russia is just, like, you know when you're playing Risk, and one guy has, like, infinity amount of people, and whatever he rolls, he's going to get like three cards. It's going to be another 75 troops, and it's the law of big numbers. You just keep throwing big numbers at the other team, and eventually you will just wipe over them. Like,
well, I'd say
maybe that's what Russia had, because it was so huge, it had such a pool of people to choose from.
Yeah, that has always been a tactic for Russia in wars, has been essentially retreat and let the landmass, the scale of the country, do the work for you. Yeah. So keep
Germans to death.
Keep walking back, burn the fields, burn the resources, and make nothing worth advancing over, and then spread them thin. And then once winter hits, they begin, their supplies begin to suffer. They're thinly spread, and then you attack them.
Yeah.
That's been what took out the Nazis, about what Napoleon lost as well.
Fuck the Swedes as well when they were doing it.
Yeah.
People forget about the Swedish Empire. The good old Swedish PR. They own half of Europe.
Is that like the IKEA in Moscow? Or?
Yeah, now they're creeping in with the fucking furniture. We're sitting on an IKEA table, my friend. They're in the office. They're listening.
I'm in my IKEA high chair right now.
There's Swedish military bugs and all over furniture. If your dad's out at war, you're worried. If your dad's out at work and you're a kid, like, you're like, will he ever come home? He went out for a pack of cigarettes and he never came home. Chikatilo was a high maintenance child, right? Mm. He was a chronic bedwetter, and his mother used to bring him out after he wet the bed and stand him in his wet clothes, and then she'd scream at him, and then she'd even sometimes pull down his pants and flick his willy with a stick.
That'll help.
Don't piss the bed. Willy flick.
Jesus Christ.
Of course his penis didn't work.
Was she a nun?
No. Naughty.
Naughty.
She did. Like, that's fucked up. That's a fucked up way to treat a child. Jeez. In any situation. You're like, I know now, you know, they have, you're not supposed to, you know, even when you're changing a child's nappy, you're not supposed to be like, ugh, the fucking smell of your shit. Because you give them like a crazy, like, scatological complex or whatever. You're supposed to be like, oh, good job, honey, and just wipe your arseholes.
Yeah.
And, you know,
Jesus Christ, though, as soon as that stick would have hit the dick, you'd just be like, oh, well, serial killer now.
Yeah. That's,
that's it, done.
Step one, smack him on the dick with a stick. Step two, make him piss the bed. Like, it's like
step
a fucking,
three, starve him for 12 years.
Yeah, it's like a Sesame Street recipe for a fucking serial murder.
Yeah.
So there was.
And then bonus round, Nazis. Yeah.
Nazi rape. There was also speculation by experts. Now, this is not corroborated, but they can fairly much say, because Yablanch was on the Nazi war path into Russia through Ukraine, there was speculation that at some point German soldiers would have gang raped his mother, and Andrei would have had to watch this. It scarred him sexually from there on, and
It'd be at least as awkward as watching like a sex scene with your mother in a film.
Yeah,
at least
like something
maybe double, maybe triple, maybe 100 times worse. Actually,
yeah, it's like running in and catching your ma having sex with your dad, but your dad's like
a Nazi,
a train of Nazi soldiers. it's absolutely not the same at all.
Yeah,
but it's similar.
But no.
Yeah. But I mean, in mother is the word of God in the mouth of a child. And this is like, you know, I know she used to stand him out in the rain and whip his dick because he pissed the bed as a baby.
It's a complicated relationship.
It's still your mammy. And apparently his younger sister, Tatiana, was the product of one of these German soldier rapes. So he had to live with it the whole time. And maybe that there was feelings of you know, hatred and guilt and inefficacy and, you know, impotence.
Oh, because
because the child was like, oh, and he had to live with the product
of this. Because the father was away for the pregnancy.
Of course.
Wow, that one's even hard to deny in your own head.
He'd have to live. Imagine, like,
the immaculate blonde haired, blue eyed sister. Yeah.
The odd one. The black swan. Like, imagine having to live with your sister knowing that she was that. And every time you looked at her, you got a flashback of those lads fucking running the train on your ma. Like,
naughty.
That's rough, man.
Yeah, it's rough.
That's rough. So we're laying out levels of potential sources of impotence. Like, he's a child. PTSD usually comes from somebody who's in a situation where there's like violence or like sexual assault inflicted upon them, and the feeling of helplessness and the feeling of, you know, the inability to defend oneself.
Yeah,
means that you're kind of like, you get this trauma.
Hmm.
The helplessness is the trauma that triggers off PTSD. And it happens a lot with rapes. It happens a lot with, like, surprise attacks or robberies. You get a PTSD attack because you're like, there's nothing I could do about it. And the fear of that happening again coupled with the knowledge that if it did happen, there's fuck all. Like, a lot of lads would be like, ah, if I was, you know, if somebody put a gun on me, I'd just put a gun right on them back and I'd shoot them and shoot them dead. Or like, you hear the hard lads and all in the streets like, I tell you now, somebody fucking tried to box me, I'd put them like Doe Conor McGregor all over their face. Like, a lot of lads would think that.
Yeah.
And in, you know, the heat of the moment with a couple of drinks, I would think that and have done in the past. And then had my arsehole neatly folded and handed back to me by much more skilled and sober men. Yeah. Like, not often, but enough times for me to go, yeah, run away. Run away is the best defense. And poor old Andre, in those feelings of inadequacy, obviously had some kind of a psychological scar. We know from episodes we know on episodes of MK Ultra, like the sexual exposure at a very young age.
Yeah.
Leads to these like breaks in the psyche or these kind of non sequiturs of thought when it comes to like sexual behavior or public sexual behavior, more so, where like people, like, you know, the kids like would like JonBenet Ramsey's bigger brother used to like rub poo on the walls, and rubbing your own shit on the walls and playing with your own shite is a clear indicator of like sexual abuse or whatever,
right?
According to psychologists. So it's like these markers that are like, yeah, he's been fiddled with, there's something going on there. Or like if there's like a kid going around and they're, you know, sucking on everything that looks like a dick, or there's like overt sexual behavior, like chronic masturbation. There's a video on YouTube of like a 4-year-old girl who's a psychopath, and it's from the 70s, and there's a guy interviewing her and he's going like, so tell me what it's like to be at home, like, does your mommy and daddy lock the bedroom doors? Like, yeah, why do you do that? Because I kill them when they's asleep. It's like, really? Yes. Why would you do that? Well, because before they put stuff in my vagina and it was sore and it bleeding. It was scratchy and all this, telling all this, like, the creation of a psychopath. This little girl is like, yeah, I'll choke the baby, I'll stab my mom and dad, like, I'll kill everybody, I'll burn the house down. All because of this, like, sexual exposure when they were younger.
Mm-hmm.
So Chikatilo was exposed to that shit, as well as his father returned him home from the war after being released as a prisoner of war, and he was injured. So for the family, this was like great shame.
Really?
Great shame on that family.
Jesus.
Because to the community, this meant that he was a coward, that he got injured and then surrendered. And was taken prisoner instead of like shooting his way out like you do at the end of Call of Duty when you know you're on the last 2% of health.
Because that works out well.
Well, I mean, shit, you just respawn and
till you get a medipack, yeah.
Start a new family. So, like, yeah, he didn't die with Russian pride. So this reputation was going to follow the Chikatilo family all the way along because his dad was a coward. And when Chikatilo began school, he was so small and weak because he had like the first 12 years of his life with zero bread. Like, imagine never having bread. Like, he had no food. He didn't, in the growth spurts and the nutritional times when you have to be feeding a child loads of caloric intake, like loads of protein and all that stuff to help the brain grow and all. He didn't have any of that, so his muscles didn't grow. He was much too small for his age.
Five a day, like 5 peas a day.
5 of your neighbor's children's fingers a day in the stew. And he was so weak and small and frail that he used to faint a lot. And he was considered weak and a traitor. So it's like, oh, the traitor fainted. So he had all of these hallmarks of like ineffectual, you know, immature, untrustworthy, just like a bullshit person. As well as his ma standing out and whipping his Mickey for pissing to bed. As well as like witnessing like what was going on with his ma. As well as having to look at his sister and know she was a product of rape. As well as the dad coming home. And like all of this stuff compounded into Chikatilo just feeling really shitty about himself. Like, it's bad, right? Mm. So Chikatilo put his mind to making himself better. And what he wanted to do was expand his brain power. So he studied and focused on study to increase his self-worth and get a degree and do all that stuff. So he became the chairman of many school groups, and he eventually joined the Communist Party, and he got excellent grades, and he was tip-top, top of the class, best little boy in the whole party.
The documentaries love to focus on the fact that he was a party member.
Well, I think it's painting communists in a bad light. Like, he was the epitome of the Red Scare, the Communist Scare. You know?
That's what I mean in terms of like a lot of the English-speaking documentaries about the subject are very heavily anti-communist, in much to the, well, even about points in, that are nothing 90s, to do, they're nothing to do with anything.
In the 90s when it was cool to be anti-communist, now if you're anti-communist, you're alt-right.
But like,
seems it's, to be it's the antithesis like, now.
At the time,
you're a Nazi, given you don't like communism.
Given the time of everything, it's like the Soviet Union was on the ground, dead, and then it was like, the capitalists, Western capitalists coming over, and it was like see, I told you so, did I tell you so, and then like pull their pants and shit on the body and then just piss on the body and then dance on the body, like haha, told you so. It's kind of like, this subject isn't really that much to do with that. It was like a little bit, but not really, and not enough to be like ragging on it every, like at the top and the tail of every kind of the section.
The reason he was the way he was is because of communism, because of the famine, and because they were against the Nazis, you know, I see what you're saying. The documentaries do smash that into your head, like, which may or may not be. I mean,
that's a good point. Actually, I hadn't considered the agricultural policies to be as directly causing the Western documentaries to take quite that heavily a vocal stance on it.
Yeah, I mean, the way that they bash communism in the 90s in those History Channel docs, right? It's kind of like, you have to say no to Stalin, because if you don't, you know, you'll get Stalin. But if you go the total opposite way to Stalin, you get Hitler. So it's one or the other, opposing ideologies. It's either like autocratic social democracy or, you know, fascism, which is, you know, an autocratic kind of like social democratic.
America, yeah.
It's kind of they're the same, they're almost the same, but there's some things that are just enough different to make them you know, dire oppositional enemies, like, you know what I mean, like for Russia to be smashed, reputation smashed by American media is kind of ironic, because what Russia was doing the very same thing the other way around, like no Blue Jeans, no Beatles, no Elvis Presley, no jazz music, like everything was verboten. You couldn't do any of that stuff because, you know, they had a certain monopoly over how free their people were. And you can see that now reflected in modern day China, where they're like, I mean, there's a Chinese Chikatilo waiting to be made. Like, there's famine all over China. There's loads of mad shit happening. Maybe not more recently, but definitely in the past decade, there's been like widespread famine in China for some of the people that are living there in very, very poor conditions, you know.
Yeah.
What is it? 80% of the world live under $1 a day. Like, that's a lot of people not eating. Do you know, or just having like a small bowl of rice with some flavored water. Not telling you what the flavor is now, but just like, it's pretty fucking rough for a lot of people. And I do get what you're saying about the documentaries being very anti-communist, but people aren't as anti-communist as they should be these days. And I think that's where you're looking back and it going, geez, that's very anti-communist. But like 12 or 15 years ago, you'd be like, yep, that's just about the right tone. Because now the acceptance of Nazism and its minor benefits, similarly to communism, communism is lauded, like socialism is lauded as like the best way, but we just haven't done it the right way yet. Like, oh, it's the best thing. Nobody's ever done real communism before. Whereas Nazism, like, made like the autobahns and advances in scientific technology and stuff like that, but also they fucking gassed a lot of Jews. Like, there are benefits to and detriments to both.
I think this is a legitimate point. Well, I'd separate socialism and communism. I think this is a legitimate point for for the argument of what I call the argument of isolation. How socialist countries, unless they're social democrat, tend to be basically attacked from all sides, economically, culturally, and financially, and in war sometimes.
Like Venezuela,
yeah. They're generally just attacked. And there's a pretty good argument there for, like, no one has ever been kind of just left alone and given a chance.
Well, who's attacking them all the time? That's the thing.
Rivals.
America.
To be honest. That's my coded language for that there.
It's America doing the attacking, because like, if it does succeed, then this like 70-year plan to abolish communism is done. And to be honest, like, you know, Canada are doing real well with their whole thing. And it could continue on very positively. I mean, who's to know? But to say that they're blaming Chikatilo on communism, I don't think is that far fetched. with like the 5-year plans, like the agricultural acquisitions and these kind of things that created an atmosphere where somebody could be that way. But also this guy, as we'll find out now as we go along, was kind of a supporter. He was kind of like he had a crutch of social acceptance and societal hierarchy because he joined the party. He was a smart dude. He was given the means more of an opportunity, and then he committed these crimes.
Yeah, and he was
and
a
because
teacher
of the pride of because
he was
of
an upstanding citizen. Like same thing that happened with Ireland, in Ireland, with people getting away with all kinds of depraved
priests
shit.
And politicians priests, and all sorts of fucking.
It was that upstanding
because they're beyond
citizen.
Recrimination because they're part of a society. You know, with special handshakes and special clothes and all sorts of things. If you're part of a fraternity or a sorority,
a pillar of the community, yeah,
you, people are gonna fucking.
You're just invisible when they're looking for a criminal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the people who invariably get busted are the people that don't have any money because they can't defend themselves. But this is what happened. Like Chikatilo's, like I can see how society works. I've been in the worst part of it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make sure that doesn't happen to me again. Mm. I'm gonna get myself. An edumacation. So he went and he got this, the chair, he became the chairman of all these groups and he joined the Communist Party and he tried to go to college. But when he applied to many of these colleges, he was refused the scholarship to get in. And Chikatilo himself suspected that was because his father had a tainted war record. And as soon as they seen the name, they were like,
wow,
no, this boy is not getting in here. He'll quit or he'll, whoa, you know, that shit follows you around, man.
Fucking hell. So he's a pariah because of his dad.
I mean, how many dudes can proudly write their name Weinstein on a, do you know, on a check
on an application
or on a
list,
do you know, at the Amazon delivery guy's thing is like, are you Weinstein? It's not that Weinstein, is it? No. Okay. Do you know how many people can walk away from a namesake?
Yeah.
And he went in there and he did really well in the entrance exams and we're like, nah, man. Chikatilo no bueno. But eventually he got into these colleges, had to work a little bit, hustle on the weekends or whatever, and he ended up getting multiple different degrees, multiple bachelor's degrees. Super smart dude. He also completed the military service, and at this point in his life, in his early 20s, he was a fully fledged citizen, like upstanding member of society, and like all accounts should point to him being well respected.
Yeah,
he's a well-respected dude. Inside, broken.
Yeah,
like a, you know,
like eggs at the bottom of the shopping basket.
Exactly, fucked in his brains. But on the outside, he had done all the things that society demands of one.
Yeah.
So during this school time and during this, coming of age when he's like in his mid-teens.
So the awkward...
the sexual things start...
The disco.
Yeah, you're waking up in the middle of the night hoping that you haven't pissed your pants so your man won't come out and whack your dick with a stick. And he was so weak that he would fall over and faint and stuff, and he'd have people come over and go, "You okay, you okay?" And this touching started these like awakenings of sexual ardor. And... he knew that he had the horn, but he couldn't get the horn. His dick was broken.
So he had a horn inside, but not outside.
Yeah, and that's a hard place to have a horn.
That is.
Especially when you don't have one on the outside. He couldn't get an erection in any situation. This is what the internet has said to me. Couldn't get an erection in any situation. I'm like, have you tried everything?
I was going to say that.
I'm sure there's something can be done. So he had a crush at the age of 15, but he couldn't act on it. And she was 17 and they had a little girlfriend, boyfriend kind of shit going on. Holy hands, touchy kissy, get a pinch of a titty, and your dick doesn't work. And you're like, what the fuck, man? My dick doesn't work. Like when I was 15, you were producing gallons of liquid.
Industrial quantities.
Rubbing yourself raw, pulling yourself around the room on your tippy toes.
Yeah.
Like a ballerina. 6-7 times a day. Insatiable. And this poor lad had all of that inside him, but couldn't let any of it out. So one day, he jumped on the 11-year-old friend of his younger sister, Tatiana, who's a product of Nazi rape. So Tatiana's little friend, 11, they were wrestling around on the ground and they were doing pinch tickles and all sorts of things. And he got a bit rough with her and she was struggling to get away from him. And lo and behold, he ended up with Christmas in his jocks. He, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
From wrestling with an 11-year-old at 15, he got a gratification from forcefully holding down a little girl and having her screaming and doing all this. So he was like, I've got to go. Like, imagine that happening for the first time in that situation.
I can see how that would be a problem.
Like, think back there to the first time it ever happened to you. Now think about how awkward that would be if it was from rolling around the ground with an 11-year-old.
Christ.
Yeah. That goes for everybody out there. Fucking weird, man. So, this was the first taste of, like, I know what I like. I know what makes it work. And with the mind of a 15-year-old, as soon as you find out, like, no one teaches you how to wank. So whatever way you figure out...
I just hit it with a stick, right?
Whatever way you figure out to do it, if it's like... You know, if it's like you're putting like a little chocolate floret on a decorative dessert strawberry, you know, but just two fingers, like ping, 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 ping. Or if it's the full, like, ham fist of death, like the grip of Ishtar, just like trying to fucking pop the top of it like a bottle of yop. Like whatever technique, if it's like, that's it. If it's like, you know, the cowboy stance, like the rodeo stance, where instead of like holding up the ways,
you've researched this, you turn
your thumb inwards.
You have the real names.
And do it the other way around. I'm just making this shit up. These are all things, you know what I mean? Like, whatever works for you, you find it. And then when you get to about 16, 17, you're joking with your mates, you're like, yeah, did you ever, like, you know, when you're making the jack-o'-lantern, just keep all the bits from inside of the pumpkin and then, like, put them in a plastic bag and then put that plastic bag in
just
between
the
mattress and the top of the bed, and then, like, heat up a little bit of microwave and put it in, and then, like, do you ever get, like, two lamb's liver and put it in a pint glass and then put that pint glass in the microwave for, like, 3 minutes and then wait for a minute to cool because it'll burn you, and then, like, fuck that thing.
Or
like,
just put two raw chicken fillets in a wrap and just put some salsa in it and then just give it away.
Some mayonnaise.
Yeah.
A bit of sweet corn. And have that for lunch after you've wanked 9 times. Yeah. Like, they're the things that teenagers experiment with. Can you imagine this mentality of this guy who's like, I've just found out a way to make the funny feeling come back.
Yeah.
I want to do that again. Like, that's a strange awakening, Mark.
What would be the song to drop in that moment in that film?
I think Bruce Springsteen's The Wrestler. Or...
If you leave me now, you take away the biggest part of me.
That could be for later on in the movie of Chikatilo. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe Twisted Sister, I Wanna Rock.
Oh,
I wanna rock. Whether you want to or not, I'll hold you down and come. I wanna rock. Like, that's the new. So after completing college, and I'm sure a multitude of failed sexual escapades, like any of us, he returned home to his village in the Ukraine to live with his parents, and he became involved with a young woman who, through normal kind of means, not like an inspection or whatever, you know, with a stick and a piece and a ruler, discovered his, you know, flaccid secret.
Yeah.
And she spread rumors around the village, and he became betrayed, and it was again another emotional barb.
The humiliation of it.
A notch on the bedpost of his psyche, which just meant that, like,
as bad as his mother.
Yeah, I mean, another oppressive, demeaning woman who was out to fucking make his Mickey a holy show.
Yeah,
like, bad news, man. Like, I've never in my life made anybody, as much as I possibly could.
This is becoming a hell of an underdog story.
Big time. I tried to paint it like that because I listened to loads of podcasts about Chikatilo, and nobody tells the story this way. This is what I'm seeing. I'm not trying to paint it in a positive light, but I'm trying to go, like, understand it.
Mm.
A lot of people are like, yeah, this mad cunty jump out of a tree and then, like, cut your guts up and eat your uterus.
Yeah, if you add those ingredients in that particular order, you get that meal.
Exactly. In my mind, I think that some of the stuff they did, like, how could they not have seen it coming? And that's why all these profiling stuff, and that's why people are so, like, freaky about children now, like, drawing weird pictures in school and drawing overtly sexual images, like, you know, they're draw a picture. And it's all like, what's this? Oh, it's Santa fucking my mom at Christmas time. It's like, what did you see? Jesus, crappy Christmas.
Because that looks like a number one hit.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I saw mommy fucking Santa Claus. All against her will last Christmas Eve.
Sig Heil.
Yeah, he emptied his bag into her.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, it's those conspiracy guys, folks. Did you expect any less?
That time of the year.
It is. If we all pull together, we have a white Christmas. So it just happened that this woman was spreading all this stuff. And like, what would you expect to happen if it was a normal ass man? Like, if it was a normal dude and he had a woman going, like, he's impotent, he won't fuck me. And you're telling everybody, to the best of my knowledge, I've had a lot of body issues, people call me fat and all this kind of stuff, and I know how much it hurts, and only when I want to really hurt somebody do I go after that thing. But never, ever, ever have I ever said, like, hey man, you gotta fucking work that shit out, like, that's not good. To a guy or a girl, I've just been like, hey, stay to you, like, or fucking,
yeah,
like, you don't fucking... That's somebody's, like, that's their person. Like, you can't change that shit. So, like, hey, yeah, man, you got a really creepy nose. You got really weird eyebrows. Hey, man, your teeth are crooked. You know that? Go get braces. You're like...
This is mean, Gordo. You're looking at me when you're saying all these things.
It's like, I do know that I have crooked teeth.
I don't have braces.
I look at my fucking face
every
day.
The other stuff is right, but I don't have braces.
I look at my face every day. I know the fucking state of my teeth. Like, why would you need to say that? So this bitch is going around saying this stuff. And this cracks himself. This cracks Chickatilla. He's at home. The breaking point, man. This is like, he's been out. He's come from like the piss to bed, fucking washed up, like, traitor family.
Yeah.
He went out. He got 2 degrees.
He went to the disco as well. He went to a dance.
Yeah.
Jesus, that's trauma in and of itself. Just going to a dance as a teenager.
Whether your dick
and
works
then,
or not.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh my God, I kissed a girl. And it's like, oh my God, her hand's in my pants. And then, oh my God, nothing is happening.
Uh-oh.
And then she goes around the town and tells everybody. And you're like, oh my God.
Yeah. We've all had those stories, though. We've all had those stories of something embarrassing happened to us. And if somebody got it, awful, right?
Yeah.
So what happened here was a Snapchat selfie
got posted to 4chan.
Like, yes, a dick pic got posted to the internet in the way that it would in you know, the 60s.
Mm.
And she went around spreading around the rumors. Chickatilla snapped. And in 1993, in an interview, he said, from that event, from your one spreading the rumors, and everybody, like, he tried so hard to better himself, he got a good degree, he was coming back to a good job, like, he was doing everything the party wanted, like, he was top class dude. So he tried to kill himself by hanging after this one went around and told everybody his dick didn't work. Tried to kill himself. His mother found him and his mother and his sister found him and pulled him out of the noose.
They didn't hit him in the dick, no.
Who knows? I wouldn't imagine that they wouldn't have. I mean, it was seemed like a family tradition.
The done thing.
Yeah. And he had to move away then out of shame because he couldn't even complete his own suicide. That was what they said. He's so useless he couldn't even kill himself. Like, that's rough.
Yeah.
You're walking away from that town and going, fuck that people. Fuck those motherfuckers, like, right? So then, in 1961, he moved to Rostov-on-Don, which is in the motherland of Russia. And he got a good job and he had a nice apartment. And he was followed quite swiftly by his mother and his sister. They came to live with him. Because they're like, well, we're not going to stay in your Blanche where there's no fucking bread or food or anything like that.
And also, well, you humiliated us, so.
Well.
In their eyes.
Yes, yeah. They're like, we're going to get something out of you. So his sister moved into the city. She got married and she was happy out and she wanted to see her brother happy. So she set Chickatilla up with her husband's spinster sister, Feodosia.
Right.
So it was like a family affair. A sister and a brother and a sister and a brother.
What way did the names work out there? That could be confusing. In-law? In-law. Brother-in-law? Sister-in-law?
Brother-in-law, I was well. Yeah, is it still?
Yeah.
He's already the brother-in-law and now he's still the brother-in-law.
His brother.
He's a double brother. Double brother-in-law. So with Feodosia, they had figured out this system of sex. Yeah,
where there is a will, there's a way.
Exactly. So they were married. They had to have kids. They had to have been seen to life. Finds a spatula. And they did this thing where he would, like, you know, comb in his hand and then, like, try, he put it up her with his fingers And she eventually got pregnant, and they had two kids using this method.
Is it like half lizard DNA, half turkey baster?
Yeah. And they keep it in a can of shaving foam. So yeah, they had two kids using this, I don't know what you'd call it, the handoff method. The Hail Mary pass, I guess, what would you call it? There's something in there.
The long shot.
Yeah.
The long ball. We call it the long ball.
The rebound. Did the rebound. Bouncing into a fanny off his hand.
In my head, I can't even go to the place of what was required to get him there.
How did he get... He'd have to, like, wank a flaccid dick to oblivion get it to come out.
Yeah, but I mean, even to just physically get him there, what had to occur? You're just like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's something you really have to think about, because as it goes along, this is behavior that was
fundamental
to how he committed his murders, and it was like cooperated with. It was enabled by his family, that he's like, well, look at Andre doesn't have a work in Mickey, but sure, look at you're rotten. So the two of you are a match made in heaven. Like, that's what Feodosia was kind of. She's a fairly plain looking yoke, and you know, she was like, I'd be happy with it or whatever. Like, I'm for having a family. It's my last chance. And it was, you know, just a real fucking drab, like, grim situation, you know.
Pretty grim.
Absolutely. So they were living together for, like, 5 years, 6 years. And in 1970, Andre got a job as a teacher. And this put him in, like, a seriously, like, threatening position. He was
a sexual deviant
in front, who had already committed sexual acts on minors.
Had he at that stage?
In school he was doing some stuff like that.
Right.
And according to his confessions later on in the early 90s, before his execution, he was like, yeah, well, I mean, the first proper murder was 1978, but I had done stuff all before that. So who knows what he was doing? He's moving all over the country. He got a job in the teacher.
That was a good sign, just like a priest, yeah. Moving around the parish.
That didn't happen to him. But we'll wait to hear this. He was called the Goose, and this in Russian is like an insult, you know, like
in a Tom Cruise movie as well.
Yeah, it's like you're ineffectual, you're nothing,
you're a fool,
basically. You're a fool, yeah. And he was highly and frequently publicly disrespected by the students. So again, a public shaming. A metaphorical, like, stick to the penis, yes. And some of these kids would blow cigarette smoke in his face and scream and throw things during his class, tip the tables over, write like Chikatilo has no willy on the board.
Chikatilo has no willy.
Yeah, fuck that guy. He had no control over these kids, and again, feelings of impotence, feelings of inefficacy.
Pretty hard to control kids like that, even when you're a psychologically relatively normal human being.
So. As way leads on to way, his first reported sexual assault was on a 15-year-old student who he molested in a swimming pool. So what he would do was lock girls in the classroom and molest them. And he would be walking into school, constantly fondling his flaccid penis, trying to rub it off girls' elbows as he leaned over their shoulder to help them with their work. He would, like, rub it against their back. He would go into the classrooms or go into the changing rooms and stuff like that and be like, oh, sorry. And, like, put his leg up on the chair and fondle himself. Like, there was constant sexual presentation. It wasn't exactly like masturbation, but he was just like, look at this. Look. Hey, look. And these are all warning signs. They should be like, this lad needs a good talking to.
Yeah.
He's a good fucking word of himself in the corner. So eventually, after all of these reports and all of this stuff going into the girls' dormitory and, like, you know, fucking smelling their knickers or doing whatever he's doing, like, dodgy shit, eventually the school had to let him go and be like, come here, Andre, you just want too many fondles.
You're too much.
Yeah, too many fondles, bro. So they had to let him go, but there was no report made. Or there was no big deal made out of this. Like, he fucking sexually assaulted a young one in a pool. Like, I couldn't help it. And he was doing the whole choky cum thing, right? Mm. So eventually, he was let go. And the principal of the school wanted to save face because they didn't want, like, this.
They didn't
this,
want a scandal in the
Soviet
parish.
School system to look like they had these
child molesters.
Yeah. So they just moved him on to another school. And he got a couple more jobs as a teacher. From 1970 to 1981, he was moved like five times. And in 1981, he was let go from another school for molesting children much younger of both sexes. So he'd moved on from just molesting young teenage girls into like 7, 8, 9, and 10 year olds, boys and girls. So he was just out for anything at this point. Like, that's fucked.
Mm.
This is before like his first murder in 78. So all through the 70s he was at it.
Yeah.
And loads of people knew, and they fired him because of it, and nothing was done and no reports were made.
Yeah.
Like, you would wonder why they wouldn't do something about it.
It's so institutional.
Isn't it? Mm. And you can understand how it can happen in a place like Ireland like that.
Yeah, it's so familiar as well with the history of Ireland and the school system.
Absolutely, man. Fucked. So he did get a job as a supply clerk, which gave him free rein to travel the country without quarter. He was out and about, a man about town.
So was that like a demotion?
Well, he wasn't able to be a teacher anymore because, you know, I think it's like five times you get caught for molestation, you have to give up being a teacher. Soviet the rules. So the supply clerk for this logistics and industrial company.
So meant he's on the road.
He's on the road.
So he's a travelling pedophile.
Yeah, transient. Not, you know, and he was able to commit these murders on the road, going from town to town, from place to place. He was just a man in a van, a guy on the street. Nobody knew him. There was no reputation of, you know, Chickatilla the weakling, Chickatilla the goose. Yeah, yeah. You know, the father is a traitor. So
he could be anyone because he's just new. He's a stranger in town.
Ted Bundy-ish, right?
Yeah.
So nobody knows what he actually did on these trips. And most of the confessed information from there comes from Chickatilla himself. So there was like disappearances and murders all across the Soviet Union that are now attributed to him. He had, for up to the time of his death, he had not confirmed nor denied their existence. And he's like, maybe I did, maybe I didn't. He make up a story about like blah blah blah, and this one was killed this way, and he tell real intricate details, and they match like the fucking body. And he's like, well, maybe it wasn't me. And they're like, well, it had to have been you. Well, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. And still he left him guessing when he was gone, like, you know what I mean? Like, how many, he had years there on the road to do whatever he wanted. Like the wet bandits, you know, like the only way they could tell which houses they robbed is because they turned the sink on. Otherwise,
what's that?
From Home Alone, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, they wouldn't know. So his first actual murder that was like chalked down, this was murder, was in Shakti. And on the 22nd of December, he murdered a 9-year-old girl called Yelena Zakhtatnova. And it was a whole kind of like sweetie man in the woods kind of thing. He lured her to a purpose-built shack, and he was promising a very rare Soviet treat of bubblegum. And he tried to rape her. And then when he couldn't get an erection to rape her, he began stabbing her. And this gave him the sexual release that he was looking for. He was searching, yearning for that teenage, you know, tickle fight, you know, accidental jizz pants moment.
He found his thing.
Stabbed her to death a load of times, multiple times. And this was his peccadillo. This was his thing where he's like, yeah, I got to do this again. That was great. Now, typical to the crimes in the school and the stuff seeming systematic in the USSR where they're covering up this stuff. They don't want people to be doing this stuff, so they keep it on the DL. The police didn't arrest Chickatilla for this crime. And he dumped her body and her school bag in a nearby river. So he had a hut purposely built in the woods. He dragged her body from the place, covered in blood, left a blood trail, tossed her body in the water, threw her bag in the bin, left a trail of blood back to the shack from him, covered in blood, with a weapon in the thing belonging to him. But, because he was a family man with two kids and a good job, and he was a party member, they ignored his obvious suspiciousness. Can you believe that? Ignore it, man. Instead, they arrested and convicted Alexander Kruvchenko, who was a local sex offender who lived just up the road, and said that he did it. And they didn't even look into the fact that Chickatilla owned the place. He had the blood led back to the place, the weapon was inside. Did they do fingerprints? No. He is a member of party, he can be trusted. What about that nonce up on the hill? Let's get him. Kruvchenko!
Yeah, fucking
Can you imagine being so obtuse?
Oh, no. This is like a warning sign for institutional respect.
Fucking bullshit, man. Did you see The Keepers? Did you ever watch The Keepers?
No.
Keepers is a Netflix documentary centering around the murder of a nun.
Right.
And the nun was murdered by an alleged paedophile who worked in the school system in Baltimore.
Right.
And the people now are going back and looking through the case, trying to find out who actually murdered her. And in doing that, uncovered a whole lot of unsavory stuff about what those priests were doing.
Yeah.
One of the main perpetrators of this thing, who was said to have murdered her, buried all the evidence and all the fucking stuff in a big, like, 40-foot by 40-foot hole that's, like, waterproofed and insulated. All the files buried in a big hole in the ground in a field somewhere that the lads found. He fucking raped dozens, if not hundreds, of young ones who all came through the halls of the school. He was moved 4 or 5 times all around Baltimore and eventually to Limerick in Ireland, where he spent a couple of years, I don't know, training up new paedophile priests.
giving seminars.
Oh, the body of Christ, the Gedge Tongue, say nothing. Like, can you imagine that? Like, institutionalized obsolescence. Institutionalized obfuscation of facts. Like, that's fucked up, man. So this lad, these lads and the keepers, like, if you haven't watched that, watch that shit. It's all about the institution, man. It's totally fucked up. Like, it's riveting. Like, you can't look away, but it's grim. It's dark. You want some good mood going into it, I think.
If you want to get rid of a good mood.
Well, yeah. If you have to have a good mood to get through to the end, to be true. Normal. So, like, Chikatilo's murderous predilections escalated then. Where he would mutilate bodies and he would chew on the parts of the victims, pull out organs and give it a bit of an owl, dog or pig's ear. In 1981, a 17-year-old girl was lured to a forest by Chikatilo and he brutally murdered her, chopped her up in bits, eviscerated her, in fact. And he bit and ripped off her nipples. He allegedly chewed on her uterus, which he cut out from her stomach. And he said in depositions later on that he never ate the victims. He never actually chewed and swallowed it like meat. But he liked the springy texture of the insides on his teeth. So he just like pull off a bit of uterus and just give it an old chew like a Wrigley's. And then,
like, I wonder did anyone point out to him that, like, that's like splitting hairs slightly. It's like, I cut it open and I take out uterus and I chew it, but I did not swallow.
Yeah.
I'm not weird.
I eat the kidneys like apple and bat, and I just like the taste of the iron, like the metal from where the kidneys used to process urine in the body and then spit them out because I'm not an animal. Like, that's fucked up, right? Pulling out the uterus because it's like, I like to... It's like, get this cunt some bubble gum or something. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you, like, saw what he did with the last packet.
That's why. That's maybe why he's like, no, I can't have bubble gum.
Too many memories.
Too many. Smell bubble gum. Bring me right back to that hut. That poor girl. So basically, this like escalation of his disgusting murderous behavior started a spate of rapes that were initially rapes, but then turned into brutal forest murders of these teenage girls, and he would, like, grab them, try to rape them, didn't really work, stab them to death, get his rocks off, cut them up in bits, have a bit of a chew, bit of a snack, and then cover them with branches and leaves and just walk away. And he would be covered in blood with, like, bits of uterus in his teeth. And he'd walk away from those crime scenes and nobody would say anything. Like, that's fucked. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Right? Jeez. So he began collecting vagrants, homeless people, and ladies of the night, aka prostitutes, and bring them to vacant locations out in the forest roads, alleyways, places in the city that aren't inhabited. And he would do this again and again and again and again up until like 52 victims. Like, it's madness. All through the late 70s and all through the 80s. Imagine the 80s in Russia, where times are, like, fairly contemporary. It's still under Soviet rule, but it's not like 60s Soviet where they're like, no, do everything. It's like, we're Night getting Rider. Along. Yeah, they're getting better. And this guy's going around doing that all over the country because he's a fucking...
Yeah, Knight Rider before the Hoff was dancing on the Berlin Wall.
Yeah. I'm looking for you to rest. Like, he's a supply clerk. He's traveling all over the country. He can do whatever the fuck he wants, man. Whatever the fuck he wants. So, there was a forensic rumor in Russia at the time that a victim's eyes take the picture of the last thing they see. And what Chikatilo used to do very often is pull the eyes out of the victim. So he'd either stab the eyes.
Not like when my mother is taking out a contact lens or something, like, you're pulling the eye out of me.
No, he would like put the knife in and pop it out like a
yap
like
again.
He was shucking, do another yap shucking sound. Oysters, yeah. Oh yeah, that's perfect. Because it's like a little one for eyes.
Yeah, little one.
He'd either stab them to bits, turn them to mush, or like pull them out with a knife. Like, these kind of things were common in Andrew Chikatilo's world. And they were well known to the media. And these were the things where, okay, we're looking for, like, he's starting to kill with the eyes now. Let's keep an eye out. And these cases started. I didn't even know that was coming. So.
Sorry.
He was keeping, like, people from all over the country were being victims of these crimes. And he's like, all right, well, keep watch out. Like, see if anybody has their eyes cut out or taken out, it's probably Chikatilo. And everyone was scared shitless, man. All through the 80s, they were like, can't go nowhere, you can't do it. And it's like having a John Wayne
bandit.
Gacy. Yeah.
We didn't see him coming.
The eyeball bandit. That's it, man. Like, in 1982, Olga Stalmachenok was taken from her school bus by Chikatilo and killed and stabbed and slashed 50 times. And then she was flayed open. All of her organs had a good old chew on. And her eyes were then cut out of her head. Like, this is when it was the quintessential Chikatilo murder is like Jack the Ripper style evisceration. The Russian police weren't doing anything about these killings, and their investigation was botched at every turn, either forensically, through reporting, or through inaction because he was a member of the party.
Yeah.
But the magic factor, and this is maybe why they couldn't properly pin Chikatilo to all these crimes, because you still have to go by forensic evidence, and there could be copycat killers and all of these kind of, subjectivities that makes you not be able to lay your hand on his back and go, I know it was you, motherfucker.
Mm.
Because he had a rare condition that his DNA couldn't be identified.
Wow.
Imagine.
If you're going to be a serial killer,
that's the superpower.
In the 20th century.
Yeah, man.
Then that is absolutely fucking royal flush.
Absolutely.
Look at the draw.
So he was blood type AB, but any of his other DNA samples, whatever form they may take, showed a different blood type. So whenever they were looking for somebody, it's like, okay, we found a load of DNA samples all over her belly and all over the insides and all over. He pulled the DNA samples out of the victims and went, yeah, these are like blood type O or these are blood type A.
Mm.
And he was AB. So when they came in and went, it was Andrei Chikatilo. Get some DNA off him. They took his blood.
It was different.
His DNA. It was different. It's like, fuck, it couldn't have been him then.
Fuck. That's a bad day at the office.
Like, it's so many.
The guy's like sitting there covered in blood. Yeah, with like fucking uterus in his teeth.
And he's like, wasn't me. Oh, it literally wasn't me.
You fucking bastard.
Like, bananas, right?
Yeah.
So, there was nothing that he left at the scene that could identify him forensically to the crime.
Mm.
Nobody knows if he knew that was the case.
Yeah. Probably just lucked out.
If he did, then he would have acted up for it. And I think he's like a pretty prolific murderer. I think it was a chance where he was in a situation where he found it. Like, yeah, like you know, you can't get me. Like, I know that, so I'm just going to keep doing it. Mm. Like, it's fucked. It's fucked. So in 1984, Chikatilo was observed by undercover police attempting to lure young girls away from a Rostov train station. And he was arrested. And then he was tested. And this DNA anomaly let him walk free from that case.
Fuck.
So at 84, he still had another 6 years before he was going to be captured. That would, as a serial killer, make you feel
invincible.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, you had me.
Yeah.
I was doing the thing.
Yeah.
And you caught me. You still can't put me away. Fuck you. Like,
fuck.
Right? So instead, these 23 murders that were to be attributed to Chikatilo for these similar motives were slapped on like poor old Brendan Dassey
making a
murder.
This is going to end well, isn't it?
They were slapped on two mentally handicapped youths.
Oh, Jesus.
Who they forced to confess before they caught Chikatilo, then caught Chikatilo and went, oh, no, it was really him. Oh, fuck, man, there's no DNA. Okay, the two retards, they already admitted to it. Let them take the fall. And just put 23 murders on two mentally handicapped lads.
Oh, my God.
Member of the party, man. Had strange DNA, but he was a member of the party. He was a family man. He was fucking, you know, Give him the benefit of the doubt. Like, that's used to be bananas. A teacher. Huh?
Used to be a teacher.
Bananas.
Great with kids.
Yeah. Christ. Really great. Fuck. Great swimming teacher.
You should see his backstroke.
I don't know if pool water is supposed to be salty. I think it's just seawater, right?
Chlorine-y.
So in 1990, he killed a girl. And after this, he was being watched by the KGB. So they were starting to crack down. They're like, okay, I know this boy is dodgy. Let's just watch him, right? Mm. And Svetlana was his 36th known victim.
36. Jeez, by the time you get to 36...
He's still got 18 left to go, man.
You'd stop counting if you got to 36 of anything.
Oh. Fucking crazy. He was kept under surveillance from this time on, and they didn't see him commit the murder, but they saw him wash blood from his face and hands in a well afterwards. But it didn't matter because they couldn't pin him forensically.
Did they go up to him and he's like, you have blood on your face? He's like, don't worry, it's not mine.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
But they couldn't take the blood and go, okay, it's this one. Like, his DNA is not to do with it. Right? So he was arrested properly in November 1990 when he was walking around his neighborhood. So he came out of his building and there's like gardens in between two buildings or whatever. Just walking around, offering young children a slug out of this jar of beer that he was carrying under his arm. So he's just walking around these jocks. There's actually a video on YouTube of him being lifted. And he's just walking around trying to get a little kid. Because he's not even going far from his home. He felt invincible. He was just like... it's like, you know, when you stay in the house too long on a green day. Like, you're smoking all day. And you're just like, oh, I don't want to go all the way to the supermarket. Okay, I'm just going to have like 4 packets of crisps for dinner. And you just shuffle out across the shop in your dressing gown. That's him sitting up at home going, oh, I'd love to like molest and brutally rape a small child. But not
if
really
you just
bother,
tuned
like,
into the podcast
going
right now.
The whole thing. I don't think they'd be tuning in this way. It's like, oh man, I'd love to get a takeaway. But I couldn't be bothered.
Couldn't eat a whole one.
I love kids. I couldn't eat a whole one.
Oh, Christ.
So he just went out and he's just like, hey, kid, you want a drink of beer? Ah, you fucking tease. Hey, you, kid, you're fat. You look like sugar. This stuff is like super sugar. Make you feel real good. You want some? Fuck you, fatty. Like, sauntering around, offering beer to kids. Someone reported him and he got fucking lifted.
So eventually what caught him was not multiple times of being caught trying to lure children into the woods or rape them or kill prostitutes or covered in blood washing his face. No. None of that, no.
Or uterus in his teeth. Or
just offering beer to kids. So next time a teenager goes, oh, you're going to the off-license to buy us a few kids. Don't fucking do it.
All your murders will
They'll pin. Well, not 23 because 23 went to the kids with Down syndrome. So 36. Whatever was after the 23.
Yeah.
The other 26, yeah.
Fucked up, man.
Jesus.
So, he got lifted.
I'm still waiting on this happy ending payoff here. He's going to redeem himself, right?
He just went, look, I done it. You are too shit. You can't catch me.
He confessed.
Yeah, he's just like, I couldn't be bothered. Fucking. He's like the Zodiac killer. He's like, you know, one of these lads that are all like hanging around the crime scene or sending clues to the police. Like, you'll never catch me. Like, Chick-fil-A was like, it's too easy.
Joke's
man.
On you. We're not even trying.
It's too easy for me. I have magic DNA. Like, you'll never catch me. Like, so it's like a verbal Kent, you know, turning into Kaiser Soze. Spoiler alert. he wanted to do that to be.
Yeah.
Do you know? So Chikatilo confessed all these crimes then in the hope of being pronounced insane. And he wouldn't be committed to die by his crimes or whatever. So he pretended to be crazy in the courtroom. He used to take out his dick and helicopter his dick at the judge.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, hey, judge, look. And just be helicoptering his dick and trying to wank. And he's like pulling in his dick going, how can I rape when this thing does not work? It does not work. Pulling it out like slap, putting his hand and punching it and all. And there's video of all of this stuff. Like crazy man. Shitting himself and all. I've shit myself.
This is much higher grade entertainment than, you know, the judge or the trial channels and all that.
Yeah.
Court TV.
Judge Joe Brown.
I'll
tell you
Judge
one
Judy.
More time, young chick, until you shit yourself again, you're going down.
But Judge Judy be like, I've seen bigger.
You're not going to stand in front of me and beat your meat.
Young man.
It's fucked up though, man. Like, yeah. He was a little... And it was like spectacle. And the whole of Soviet Russia...
Yeah.
Former Soviet Russia was looking at going... That was that cunt was doing it for years. And now we're an independent Russian. The USSR is gone. Oh, I knew we'd do well, didn't we? Look, we have a serial killer just like America. Exactly. And the whole thing for Russia was like, oh, the floodgates are open. They want to be like America. It's a whole thing again.
Like exercising the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what happens with that Soviet mentality, everything before 1990 is just forgotten about. A little bit. Like, they're kind of like, okay, let's just take it from right now and just move forward into the future. Forget about our heritage and legacy. So this lad was like one last part of the legacy and they wanted to put him away for it, right? Yeah. So the crowd in the courtroom was all made up of the families of the victims, of the people that he killed, and they were all pegging shit at him. He was in like a cage off to the right-hand side. And they were pegging stuff at him. They were screaming at him. The judge was like, order!
It was like military police holding the families back from trying to kill him.
It was like a fucking Pearl Jam concert in the front row. And they were all trying to pull the cunt apart. If they had gone him, they were like, release! Like Barabbas, release him to us! Release him! We'll pull him! They would have pulled him apart. In bits, right? So Chikatilo, when asked for an opinion on something, or, you know, when asked to corroborate a fact, he would stand up at certain sections of the court proceedings and just begin speaking at length. And a few times he was making these speeches and it was like filibustering. Just going on and on and on, making these mad, rambly, insane speeches to be pronounced insane so he could go and spend the rest of his life in an insane asylum on some antipsychotics. Yeah. Which is like, you know, for a fella who's facing the electric chair.
Up from the first two acts.
Yeah.
Like act one.
It's a little bit of comfort.
Act one, sticking the dick, starving, Nazis, rape. It was like, that's a hard start.
And then start.
Act two, impotence, humiliation, serial pedophilia, traveling around murdering children, women, prostitutes. It's like, that's a rough act two. Yeah. Act three, if you get to sit in a psych ward on Valium, then you're like,
Prozapam and settle in. And
yeah, could be worse.
Yeah, could be worse. Could be outside.
Being me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would regularly get naked. He would regularly spit. They'd give him a drink. They had to stop giving him beverages because he used to put the beverages and spit it at all the people. And he'd scream and shout and shit himself and play with his shit and all in the cage in the courtroom.
Mm.
Like, fucked up shit. Like, fucked up shit, man. So, after all of this...
Stop your nonsense.
Yeah, after 4 years of being incarcerated, after a year and a half or a little bit more of being on trial, all of the crimes that he confessed to, a lot of them weren't solved because he made up stuff or they couldn't 100% corroborate the evidence, so they couldn't 100% chalk him down. He was then sentenced to death in 1994, and as they are wont to do, there's no electric chair, there's no lethal injection. They put you in the cell, put you on your knee, put a gun behind your ear,
and boom,
pull the trigger, good luck, face gone, pushed. And he was killed on Valentine's Day in 1994.
I heard that he said it's good because now they can get the doctors to kind of slice up my brain and there'll be nobody else like me. So
that's what he thought. That's what he thought.
Well, I don't know if he realised that they were going to put the gun at his head.
Yeah.
I was like, no.
But it's fucked up though that he was like, brilliant. Now you get to see what makes me work.
Yeah.
And it kind of thinks like maybe that's what he was doing the whole thing because he couldn't figure out how women worked.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, how did they work? I just cut them up and find out, like,
or how he worked.
Why was my mad the way she was, and she's whipping my willy, and all, like, it's such fucking weird shit. Like, it's mad, right?
Yeah.
Chikatilo's story is super interesting. I'm gonna lash up a load of documentaries about it.
Yeah, there's lots of videos of him, like when they walk him, like it's really it's surprising access because they walk him around different locations where he had buried bodies and where he killed people, and then they had him in a gymnasium with a dummy, and he was like explaining what he did to different
victims. They really were. It was very much in the vein of Mindhunter. I think was the case of Andrew Chikatilo because Mindhunter wanted to look into the origins of why these men did what they did, how they did what they did, and how to predict that in the future. What are the social and cultural demarcation points where you can go, okay, that lad comes from a broken home, he does this, he does that, he does all this stuff. He is going to be, if out of five dudes, if that lad has that history, let's look into what he's been doing. Yeah. And the Russians hadn't got that kind of information.
Yeah, and this was the case where they did actually open up to that with the FBI, and they brought in the idea of FBI profiling, and so it was a kind of new technique amongst detectives there.
But you think, like, that stuff, like, you think, with all the CSI and NCIS and all these kind of things, that people are just like, ubiquity in society, where you think that type of police work has always been done. It really hasn't. It really hasn't. Like, since the mid to late 70s only.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's lads are going around the 50s like serial killers that were never caught. The only reason you know about lads like Albert Fishnall is because they built a fucking hotel, a murder hotel, to let lads get, you know.
Yeah, they got pretty showy about
pretty
it.
Pretty showy offy, like.
Or Holmes with his built house.
Yeah.
With his hall of mirrors and his various murder rooms and trapdoors and everything. Yeah.
Like totally fucked. And Chikatilo was like the Russian Ted Bundy or the Russian John Wayne Gacy. Like, prolific in his killing. Gruesome. Brutal in the killing. And then, you know, completely lacking remorse. He lacked remorse. The only thing he wanted to do was, you know, get proven insane. And that's why he was like, I did it. And here's why. He never said sorry. He laughed all the way through court. He shaved his head and sharpened his teeth to look more crazy. Like, he's a fucking...
Whoa.
He's a dementor.
Yeah.
But you can't discount his childhood. You can't discount that behavior from a guy who was treated like that as a child. That's some fucking serious shit that happened to a kid, man. Do you know? That stuff is dangerous when you put it into the mind of a child. And think about all the stuff, like right now as we're recording the show, YouTube are cracking down on all of the explicit sexual imagery that's in the YouTube Kids app through the Spider-Man and Elsa and Peppa Pig and Freak Family Vlogs and all this kind of stuff. They're in the YouTube Kids app where there's kids drinking piss and eating shit and Spider-Man is raping Elsa. Like, there's loads of this overt sexual imagery being put out into kids' heads, you know. I know it's not a five Nazis running a train on your ma, but it's like a bunch of shit that children's eyes shouldn't be exposed to, because you're going like, why is that, what the fuck? And some kids are going around expressing, you know, similar symptoms to having been sexually abused or having a scatological fascination or all this kind of stuff. Like, where do you draw the line? Where do you put that? Like, how do you box that off in your head, you know?
That's a pretty big question.
Yeah. Like, if it was enough to drive Chikatilo to kill, fuck, and eat 52 people, how, you know, I know it's only YouTube, but, like, you don't have to do 52. Even one or two is bad, like.
I suppose before recording this, I guess I hadn't really appreciated how much the... the institutions that were around him kind of turned the situation into an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Kind of. And he was caught and let go, and caught and let go.
And I didn't know about the DNA, because I was always like, how did he keep getting out of these cases? It was always like one after the other. It was like, he was found covered in blood, and
like
he got away with it.
Like,
or
the
he
hand
was,
of God, almost.
Yeah, or he was, like, bringing children into a forest, and it was like, they got away with it. And it was just, like, over and over got away with it. And it was like, or the bloody shack with his weapon... Like, his bloody weapon after his first murder. And it was like, how the fuck did
all
you get away
with
this?
All the signs pointed to him.
Yeah.
It was his shack, bloody weapon, trail of blood, you know, obviously, whatever, fingerprints, whatever. And they just went, oh no, it's not that guy covered in that girl's blood. It's some lad that lives up the road who's a sex offender. Like, so that's the tale of Andrew Chikatilo. Pretty fucking saucy, right?
The chick magnet.
Yeah.
I can't even really put my heart into the jokes. It's just so fucking
sad
and grim.
It's hardcore shit. But like all the rest, like the Jim Joneses and the Charlie Mansons and the Albert Fishes, like, you want to watch that shit, man. You want to watch those kiddies, because they are, you know, Michael Jackson was right. They're the future.
The institutions that basically pass off responsibility over the sake of scandals. That's such a dangerous thing, and this guy is guy is like a top shelf example of that. Like, he got away with like 56.
Yeah, a lot of people. So that's Andrew Chikatilo, and this has been Those Conspiracy Guys True Crime. Thanks very much for joining us, Mark, for this grim.
Thanks for having me. I'm still waiting on the underdog happy ending happy ending twist or something, where it's like, no,
he was put out of his misery. That's about as happy as it goes. He's not like wasting away into his 70s or 80s on antipsych meds in some fucking fucked up, you know.
So do you think he knew what he was doing?
You think
he was aware of it?
Ah, he's a smart dude, man.
Yeah.
He was, you know, multi-collegiate academic. Like, he wasn't thick. No, he knew the fucking moves he was making. He wasn't acting on impulse. None of it was impulse, you know.
Well, especially when you, in fairness, for the first one, you build a murder shack.
He knows.
You build a murder shack,
and
you lure
a bubble gun.
Yeah, you know what you're doing.
Exactly. So that's it for this time. Those Conspiracy Guys True Crime. If you want to get in contact with us, anything we left out, anything we, you know, said incorrectly, or indeed, if you want to just add to the story and tell us something you know that we didn't mention in the story, info@doseconspiracyguys.com. We're on all the social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Reddit, you know, any Tumblr, anywhere that there's a place that you can have a thing with the stuff on it, we're fucking there. It's either Those Conspiracy Guys or T Conspiracy Guys. We are on Snapchat and Twitter as T Conspiracy Guys because they didn't leave enough room for the hose. So now we have a Discord server, which is a voice and text chat server where all the cool kids hang out. All the TCG hardcore fans hang out there and talk about, you know, movies and computer games and different theories to do with the different episodes and talk about politics and science and space travel and Elon Musk's eyebrows and all this kind of stuff. So if you want to go and hang out with all the well-heeled conspiracy socialites over in the Discord server, the link for that is on our Twitter page and you can subscribe to all that stuff there. If you wouldn't mind, if you're listening to this on an iOS device, please leave us a rating and a review. Throw a couple of stars up there. The next episode of season 6 is forthwith. And it is about something quite similar to this one, which would be about Jimmy Savile and Operation U-Tree and Pizzagate and Pedogate and Elsagate and all of these institutionalized, you know, sexual bad rings. Behaviors. And yeah, I mean, there'd be more rings in the fucking Olympics over in this motherfucker. Some shit's going to go down. It's going to be great. It's going to open our eyes and it's going to lead us right into season 6, talking about the Franklin Credit Union scandal and stuff like that as well. And when I go to America next year, we'll be chasing down some of those stories and trying to talk to some of those people and see what the fuck is going on. So if you want to help out the show, if the lifeblood of the show right now is Patreon, so patreon.com/thoseconspiracyguys, it keeps the lights on over here. And if you throw us even $2 a month, you know, it makes a huge difference. If everybody who listened to this show gave $1, I wouldn't need to ask again for a whole year. That's how much your $1 really means. And you get loads of stuff too. You get behind the scenes footage, you get extra outtakes from the shows, you get notifications of live chats, and you get little videos, vlogs and stuff that are only for Patreon people. They're not public for public consumption. You also get first row seats to all of the live video chats that we do on appear.in and all the stuff that's going to be going on ahead into the future, streaming on Facebook and Twitter and Twitch as well. So if you want to get in touch with us, we do have an email as well, info@thoseconspiracyguys.com. And I'm sure there'll be a link for the Indiegogo in the description below as soon as it's launched, which will be very, very soon. So the Indiegogo is going to fund my trip to America to make the first season of Those Conspiracy Guys TV. Woo-hoo! Which is going to, yeah, it's going to be me driving around America in the van, making a load of documentaries.
Oi, ginger man, driving around in a dirty van.
It's the ultimate Irish traveler's dream to document your journey and go meet the people we're actually talking about. I mean, if I was living in America already and I had this show, I would be doing that on my weekends off. I'd be taking like a week off and driving wherever I lived to wherever I'm fucking going to go. We're going from California up the West Coast to Washington, and then across the North. Over in New York by Christmas, then down the East Coast all through the first half of 2019, and then coming into the summer, then hitting like Louisiana, Texas, Nevada, Arizona, and then back to California. Hopefully, I get to meet all the people I need to meet. All the you know, go for a trip with Stephen Greer out in the desert and try and convince him to see if I can record some stuff with a camera when he's trying to show me some aliens, or fucking high five Tom DeLonge, or even have a party with Joe Rogan. Definitely like meet up with Greg Carlwood down in San Diego and talk some higher side chats. It's just trying to get me into the place I need to be to meet the people I need to meet to make the best kind of thing for your ear holes and eyeballs. And I really think that I can do it without the interference of, you know, a network TV show or some kind of overarching, you know, globalist conglomerate that's going to be like, oh, you can't be saying that now.
You nearly said cabal there, just out of habit.
Yeah.
Overarching shadow network.
Cabal, oligarchy. So imagine if I was able to put something together that was independently funded by you, the people, to consume yourself. So there'll be little tiers and little perks inside the Indiegogo. You get credits on the show. There's other little perks and stuff as well. So. And indeed, if you're a Patreon subscriber and you're living in America, I'm going to be doing live shows when I'm going around. And there'll also be some meet and greets and stuff like that. If we're in a place that doesn't have that many people, I'm sure a coffee or a soft beverage wouldn't go astray. So, yeah, that's it for all the announcements. I'm trying to make the social stuff a bit lighter at the head of the show for season 6 and onwards because of some of the... some of the complaints and some of the suggestions. I'm listening, people. I am listening.
It's every day is
better.
A school day.
Every day is a school day. It's getting better. So that's it then for this time. Andrea Chikatilo, sick puppy, bad start, worse end.
Yeah.
It's fucking rough. Like the other side of the sandpaper.
Start at the bottom, didn't get up.
Mm-mm, no way. Thanks very much to Mark Mango for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me.
And I'm sure the hip-hop ukulele or hip-hop-a-lele and Mark's ukulele tips on YouTube. If you go over, if you're, you know, want to play some ukulele, hit the man up on YouTube and tell him what you like.
Yeah,
I'm sure
you'll
help somebody
Facebook.
Out. Do some stuff, make some private lessons over Skype and...
Yeah, that's actually just taken off.
Yeah, deadly buzz. So it's all happening. Thanks very much for listening. My name is Gordo.
I'm Mark.
And this has been Those Conspiracy Guys True Crime. Goodbye.